This podcast may not be appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. We curse, we talk about sexy things, and today we are going over Unleashing Mr. Darcy. So, if you have not watched it and don't want us to spoil the shit out of it for you, just pass on this one and we'll see you next time.
Are you ready, chicka-chicka-chicka-boy? Oh, wait. I ruined it.
You better keep all of this in.
Hey there. Are you ready?
How you doing for One Dry Kiss?
Yes. Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent love letter to Hallmark movies. It's a Hallmark romance movie recap podcast where we take one singular October-chested Hallmark movie and recap it for your edification. Today, we are doing Unleashing Mr. Darcy. And I would like to introduce my so talented, effervescent, most wonderful, smarty to the party, Tamara Cosio.
And I would like to introduce my bestie, my first, my festive, my forever friend, Corinne Edding. Oh yeah, and she does a podcast with me too.
I would also like to dedicate this episode to my sister, as, yes, she loved this movie, and as Tamara knows, she was not a dog person. However, in this movie, there are lots of dogs, and the one that the main female character's dog, whose name is Bliss, my sister was completely enraptured by, and she called Bliss Duchess throughout the entire movie, and whenever she'd pop up on screen, she'd be like, "There's Duchess!" And I'd be like, "Duchess? Really?" And she'd say, "Yes, that's her true name. I know her true name, and it's Duchess."
Oh, man. Bridget, this one's for you.
So, Miss Tamara, do you have a sexy, sultry, October-chested synopsis for us?
No, I don't. But I do have a regular old run-of-the-mill, wrote it 10 minutes ago, synopsis.
So it's fresh. It's really fresh.
It's fresh. It's new. Nobody's ever heard it before you. Ooh, that rhymed. Fresh, new. Nobody heard it before you.
You're a poet and you don't know it.
Oh, I know it. It just takes me a beat or two or seven to figure out which words rhyme. So, Elizabeth Scott is a school teacher at a prestigious private school in Washington, D.C., until an unfortunate run-in with a privileged, conniving parent. She gets suspended, and while on leave, she stays with a family friend and dives into the unpredictable, crazy world of dog shows. Ooh. At her first dog show, she meets Donovan Darcy, a rich socialite who likes judging pooches and people. He rubs Elizabeth the wrong way, and they have words, which she soon regrets as he is the judge in all the other dog shows she enters. Ooh. And for a little added fun, he also lives across the street from said family friend. Elizabeth and Darcy continue to have run-ins around town with varying degrees of aggression, mostly on her part. Ultimately, the truth about his past is revealed to her, and Elizabeth grows a soft spot for him that gets bigger and bigger until the fateful day they are at a ball, and not the kind you give your puppers. Will Elizabeth stop snarling at Donovan? And will Donovan heal and stop provoking her? We will find out today on Unleashing Mr. Darcy.
That was amazing.
Thanks. Do you have some fun facts?
Why, yes, I do. Most of them are about Ryan Pavey, who plays Donovan Darcy. But I'm going to start off with listing two podcasts. One is I listened to an episode with Ryan Pavey on Deck the Hallmark. It was the August 22nd, 2019 episode. And if you listen to it starting 23 minutes in, Ryan Pavey tells the story about how he got killed off on General Hospital. And it's amazing. Oh.
Yes.
There are twists and turns and twists and turns.
And turns and twists. Yes. Oh, I'm horrible because I didn't give his real name.
Yes, you are horrible, but that's fine. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, at least you admit it.
No.
Hold on. Let me say it right now. Cindy Busby plays Elizabeth Scott, and Ryan Pavey plays Donovan Darcy. Okay, there. Did my piece, said my way. Go ahead, Corinne, take it away.
I listened to a delightful interview with Cindy Busby where she just talked about life on episode 6 of Time Has Come with Graham Wardle podcast. And Graham Wardle was on a TV show with her for 7 years called Heartland. Cindy Busby played a horribly spoiled rich girl who was used to getting what she wanted.
Oh, how the tables have turned. Oh.
No, that's sort of like the beginning and end of my Cindy Busby fun facts. Sorry, Cindy. You are an awesome human being. Listen to that interview. It's just delightful. Okay, now on to a couple of Ryan Pavey's. No one cares about this but me, but the director Ron Oliver, who has done several Hallmark movies, Ryan Pavey and Nelson motherfucking Wong are besties with each other.
In real life?
In real life. They get together and they hang out the time.
Aww. Yes. Hold on, ladies. Picture that. Oh, yeah. Ryan and Nelson sandwich.
And Nelson motherfucking Wong is going to be in the next movie that we do.
Real quick, is motherfucking Nelson Wong's middle name?
In my fantasies, yes.
Okay, because you do often refer to him as not Nelson Wong, not
no.
Mr. Wong, not Nelson. It's generally Nelson motherfucking Wong.
Motherfucking Wong.
In Corinne's world.
I may end up having to stop calling him that because if you look at the word literally, it's not a flattering word. But if you look at it the way it's just used in general, in one way, it can be like totally awesome. And that's the way I mean it. Love in the Forecast. He's in Love in the Forecast.
That's right. I remember.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I wanted to share is that Ryan Pavey was going to have his first Hallmark movie. He was just going to be a secondary character. And, you know, he'd auditioned everything. He got the part. And he was just happy because he wanted into the Hallmark universe. Then he got into a motorcycle accident, ended up laid up in the hospital, had surgery, the whole nine. And he had to cancel his Hallmark moment. But then he got his next Hallmark offer. He did not audition for. He was just fucking offered it, which is this movie, Unleashing Mr. Darcy.
And we are all the better for it.
Yes. And he was still recovering from his accident when he was in this movie. So during the tennis scene, he says he could barely hold the tennis racket.
Oh, wow. I remember that scene fondly.
You like seeing him in his tennis whites? Hello, lover.
Oh, yes. I was like, somebody just turn a hose on him, please. Pretty please. Right now.
I'm here for it.
Me too. Wet t-shirt contest. That's all I wanted. Wet t-shirt contest. I have one more fun fact.
Ooh.
It's not fun about anybody else but myself because I remember back in Swoon in June, I think you showed me a picture of Ryan along with Mark Declan, who I chose as my Swoon in June for Love and Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
This guy in fucking Unleashing Mr. Darcy, I was like, hubba, hubba, hubba. Had to watch it 3 times, and every single time I'm like, you just get more handsome. I don't know what's happening here. Like some magical spell, but you are freaking gorgeous, sir.
I don't call him Ty Ty Jr. for nothing, because they both have a kind of magnetic quality about them.
Yes. Yes, maybe that's what it is. It's here for it, front and center, front seat, pocket popcorn at the ready. Here we go.
I love his stodginess in this movie. For some reason, I am like, yes, more, more.
Are we ready to dive in so we can share all these longings and lovely scenes with everybody, Corinne?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I've got the passions in my script. I've got the passions.
We begin in a high school classroom. Elizabeth is at the front of the class teaching about Queen Elizabeth and her King Cavalier Spaniel Dash. She gives the students their assignments, and as they file out, she calls to a handsome young chap who looks like he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Joe, she says, we talked about this. Yeah, he argues with irritation, but I have lacrosse practice. But, she counters, you need a passing grade to stay on the team. Suddenly, there is a well-dressed gentleman leaning casually in the doorway. Go on to practice, son, he says. Mm. Elizabeth argues, excuse me, Mr. Markham, he hasn't been excused yet. That's okay, Markham says dismissively. This is something the adults can discuss. He comes further into the classroom with a haughty look on his face. Joe said you were threatening to kick him off the lacrosse team. Oh, no, 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 she explains. That's not at all what I said. I told him I'd give him a little extra help so he wouldn't get kicked off the team. He scoffs. I wouldn't kick him off the team. He's the best player. Well, she says, the school has rules. Any student has to keep a passing grade in order to continue playing sports. He snaps his full attention on her now and informs her, well, then you need to give him a passing grade. Her eyes narrow with a realization of what he's saying. He needs to earn the grade, she says coolly. He pulls out his wallet and mutters, how much is it going to cost? What, people like you always have a price.
Fucker.
She's taken aback by his comment and declines the offer with disdain. Do I need to remind you, he says, that my wife is on the board? Elizabeth squares her shoulders and gives him a not today motherfucker look.
Yeah.
Yes, she says, with a lot more politeness than I could muster. And I'm sure she would want the students to receive the education that they pay for, especially her own son. He pockets the cash and tells her, you obviously don't know how things are done around here, but you're going to learn. He leaves, and his son, who is watching the whole ordeal from the back of the class, snickers as he follows his papa out the room like a little puppy, which is fitting because this is a movie about dogs.
I think his name should have been Chauncey instead of Joe because Chauncey is like a lot more elite and gross sounding.
Chauncey. I just, nope. I wouldn't call him Chauncey. I call him Chon Chon.
Chon Chon. When you said hottie, I in my head it spelled out H-O-T-T-Y, and then I realized you were saying H-A-U-G-H-T-Y.
Now, he was a good-looking man until he opened his mouth. When he opened his mouth, it was all over for me. I was like, oh, hey there, daddy. And then I'm like, oh, never mind. Back away, back away. Elizabeth goes home and is happy to see her pup, Bliss. They go for a walk and wind up at Elizabeth's mother's bridal shop. She goes inside and regales her mom with her shitty, shitty day. Her mom is interested to see who this Grant Markham fellow is, so she gives him a goog. Elizabeth's sister, Jenna, who also works at the shop, comes in and sees Lizzie. That's what they call her, Elizabeth, Lizzie. Lizzie's posing her dog on the table and asks, what are you doing? She says, we have to practice for the upcoming dog show. And Jenna asks, are you sure you want to be at the dog show on your birthday? Yes, Elizabeth confirms enthusiastically. It's so much fun and it's like a party. Kinda. Her mother suggests, maybe I'll invite that guy from the wedding. You know, the single one.
Winky, oh, winky. Ugh.
But Lizzie objects. Oh, there we are. Yes, our first Hallmark trope. Mama trying to set you up with somebody so you're not single and a spinster for the rest of your life. Alone, alone, alone.
Alone, alone, alone.
You can come sit at our table, Lizzie. We're both single. You can sit with us. It's fine. But Lizzie objects. No, Mom, please stop doing that. I'm fine with being on my own. But Mom interrupts. Oh, I found him. Grant Markham is a lobbyist for Wall Street. Oh, and those guys do like to get their own way. Well, not this time. Not with Elizabeth, who has right on her side. Right, Corinne?
Yeah.
Right, Corinne?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Elizabeth gets to visit Dr. Thurston, headmaster/principal's office.
Yay!
Of the school she works at. He says that a complaint was made against her, so she's suspended from teaching until an investigation has been done. No, they don't need to hear her side. That's not how investigations are done. And this is one of the reasons why public school teachers have unions, to help protect them when shit like this happens. And private schools do not. But don't you worry, make-out squad. Dr. Thurston assures her that she's a good teacher and she should trust the process.
Nope.
Totally trustworthy, right? Right?
I'm not
feeling your support. I'm not feeling your support.
No. Nope. Nada. Nothing. Negatory. Negative. No way.
Thanks for rejecting me in so many different ways. I appreciate that. It's Elizabeth's birthday, and she's celebrating it at the dog show.
As she brushes Bliss on a small podium in front of her, she talks to her sister, Jenna, who is baffled. If it were me, and I were suspended, I'd be at home in my Jimmy Jams with a pint of ice cream. Elizabeth is insistent. This is where I want to be. Dogs don't care about money. They are innocent and love to love. They don't try to manipulate people. They're just pure souls, just like Melody the pot dog. Jenna leaves to get them coffees, and Elizabeth moves to standing with a group of people waiting to show their dogs. The person behind her tells her there's going to be a new judge, Donovan Darcy, and no one knows what to expect from him. When a surprised voice pops up from behind him, "You don't know who Donovan Darcy is?" Elizabeth turns around, and it's her mom's friend, Gabrielle! They are thrilled to see each other. Elizabeth takes this opportunity to get the dirt on the new judge. "So, you know this judge?" Gabrielle assures her, "You are lucky to be getting him. He's one of the best judges in New York. However, he doesn't have much time as he runs his own foundation that gives away millions to good causes." She points towards the ring, and a handsome man in a suit and tie with short brown hair and excellent posture is perusing the dogs on show. Elizabeth looks at him with a-wooga eyes, but says nothing. While Gabrielle comments, "A sight to behold, isn't he?" She looks over at Elizabeth, expecting a response, but Elizabeth is enraptured by Donovan Darcy, and, well, she doesn't blame her. A bit later, Elizabeth is so involved with judging Judge Darcy to her sister and calling him arrogant that she doesn't notice number eight being called. Gabrielle finds Elizabeth. "Aren't you number eight? Your number is being called." Elizabeth, in her rush to get into the ring, bumps into Donovan Darcy. He looks at her. "Number eight, you're late." Elizabeth smiles sheepishly. "Sorry, are you going to take off points?" He answers tersely. "Is there something preventing you from entering the ring right now, or do you need an engraved invitation?" Elizabeth slaps a smile on her face, enters the ring, and walks Bliss to a small table, scooping her up and placing her on top of it. She says through gritted teeth and a big smile, "Wow, you're serious." He gravely responds in a hushed tone, "I take my judging seriously. Most people appreciate that." Elizabeth responds, "Most judges at least smile a bit. I assume this is something you love." And I'm like, "Ooh, Elizabeth, I know you shouldn't be saying this shit, but way to flip the script and talk to him about smiling."
Oh, I know. Oh, I love that. I'm like, "Tell him to smile again. Do it again." Oh, 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 of all the times. "You should smile more." Oh, no. Sweet, sweet payback. Bask in that moment for a second. Yes, yes.
Usually it's men being like, "Come on, smile. Turn that frown upside down. Nothing can possibly be that serious. Why aren't you smiling?" And she's just doing it to him. I'm like, Anywho, Donovan Darcy isn't as impressed as me. He raises his eyebrows and orders, "Up and back, please." Elizabeth walks up and back with Bliss. When she returns, Donovan Darcy squats down, looks at Bliss, gives her a little pet, and stands back up. "Fine eyes. It's a shame about the freckles." Elizabeth self-consciously raises her hand to her face, and Darcy, seeing this, says with a slight smile, "I was referring to the dog." Elizabeth stiffly says, thank you for clarifying, and starts to walk off. As she passes by Donovan Darcy, he says over his shoulder, "If you're confused about how things are done here, I promise you will learn." Elizabeth.
Right?
Woo! Elizabeth returns to Jenna and Gabrielle. Jenna says, "Bliss looks like she did great, but whoo, you looked like you were yelling at him." Elizabeth says, "You should have heard the way he was talking to me." Gabrielle is dubious. "I've always found him to be charming, huh?" The results are in. Elizabeth returns to the ring, and Donovan announces the first place winner and puts a ribbon around their neck. Then he walks over to Elizabeth, gestures to her, and says, "Our reserve winner." Elizabeth is so excited that she squats down and gives some praise and pets to Bliss. Donovan turns to put the ribbon around her neck, and there's no one there to put the ribbon on. Elizabeth, seeing his feet, realizes maybe she should be doing something different. She pops up with a big, genuine smile on her face, and he puts the ribbon around her neck and rolls his eyes as he walks off. That evening, Elizabeth, Gabrielle, and Jenna are at a nice restaurant celebrating Elizabeth's birthday. Elizabeth is decked out with a sparkly, bright pink Carmen Sandiego-style hat that says Birthday Princess across the top. She's basically decked out like it's her bachelorette party with a sash and beads. She's only missing penis decor, which I'm sure is frequent in Hallmark movies, right? The penis decor?
Right. Everywhere. I was going to say, I haven't seen any penis decor in this Unleashing Mr. Darcy yet. It's getting kind of late in the game. What's going on?
Usually it's like first 5 minutes and bam, there it is.
Like Mardi Gras beads, like everywhere, penis, penis, penis.
Oh my God. You're so funny. I love you so much. They're all chatting and drinking wine when Gabrielle suggests to Elizabeth that she come stay with her in New York for a while and stand in for her trainer who broke her leg. Lizzie did such a great job with Bliss, and it would give her more experience. Elizabeth appreciates the offer, but thinks that she's going to be heading back to work soon. I'm sorry. I think I just got a little something stuck in my throat there. Anyways... They all cheers to that, and as Gabrielle leaves to freshen her drink after the toast, Donovan is being taken to a table by a hostess when the pink glittery hat catches his eyes. He glances over and says, "Number 8, I see birthday wishes are in order." Elizabeth smiles sheepishly and whips the hat off of her head. "Elizabeth, Elizabeth Scott." Jenna responds, "Yep, she's turning 30 today." He smiles and with a twinkle in his eyes says, "You look like you're having such fun." Just then, Donovan's teenage sister approaches him. "There you are," Donovan says to the table, and I was like, he's talking to an inanimate object? Oh my gosh. Ugh. Donovan says to the table, "Allow me to introduce you to my sister Zara." Elizabeth smiles at the formality of it all. "This is my sister Jenna." Zara looks pleadingly at Donovan. "You're not going to spend all night talking again." She turns to the table. "It's like he's the king and I'm a minion, forced to do whatever he wants." Jenna chuckles and Elizabeth smugly says, "I'm sure that's exactly how he is." Fucking A. Lizzie, take a fucking chill pill and cool your heels. Sweet Jesus. Give the man a little bit of a break. Darcy turns to Zara. "Well then, we'll get going to our table," and they leave. Jenna hisses at Elizabeth. "You said he was being rude, but you were hella rude." Elizabeth is indignant. "What are you talking about? His sister called him a dictator." Jenna responds, "She was teasing him." Just then, Elizabeth is rescued from having to look at the woman in the mirror by her mom and Gabrielle reuniting. Her mom comes over to the table announcing loudly to the restaurant how proud she is of her baby turning 30 and how too bad it is that she's single. Tamara's favorite thing.
Ick. Ick, ick, ick.
Thanks, Mom. I'm so glad that I don't have parents who are like, "So, honey, when are you going to get your wagon hitched to some eligible partner?"
The clock's a ticking, honey. Tick tock. Oh, you know what, Mom? That clock has done ticked. The alarm went off. I hit the snooze button 17 times and now it's not working anymore. So just shut it.
Yeah, I was going to say that clock rang a long time ago. It's gone.
The batteries are dead.
Yes.
Dead, dead, dead. Thankfully, my mom wasn't like that because she was a spinster well into her years. And my dad was like, "You're going to stay my little girl forever. I don't care." I'm 40, Dad.
Too bad it that she's single, because look at that face. Thanks, Mom. Donovan and Zara are witness to the whole thing. And Donovan looks extremely uncomfortable at the loud display. How uncivilized.
Pish posh.
Pish posh.
Elizabeth gets a call to go back to the school and find out the verdict of the investigation. She goes back into Thurston Howell III's office, and she arrives and says, "What's the news?" And he says, "Oh, well, sit right down and hear a tale." She sits down, and he goes on, "A tale of a fateful grip that's coming from this board member about her son, the twit. The daddy's got accusations. He told us you want more. And now we must suspend you so we can be sure. So we can be sure.
That was amazing.
And thank you. I was trying to pull a Corinne in the good way where you make a song out of something and it delights me immensely.
When you were like Thurston Howell III, I was like, did he go away on a 3-day tour?
A 3-hour tour, actually.
3-hour tour, yes.
But if you can't tell from my rendition of Gilligan's Island's theme song, got suspended because Grant Markham accused her of trying to extort him from money to increase his son's grades. And Elizabeth is definitely not an island, so she floated the fuck out of there in a huff.
Ooh. And that was a glorious rendition.
Right after.
Glorious.
I thank you. Thank you. Shower me with all the praise. Right after she leaves Thurston's office, she calls Gabrielle and asks if the handler position is still open. Why, yes. Yes, it is. So she's off to the big city. New York, New York. Sometime later, after she packs and travels, she and Bliss arrive at Gabrielle's house via taxi and are greeted very warmly at the door. She rushes inside, completely abandoning her luggage on the sidewalk. Luckily, the cab driver stays until she beelines it back outside. Forgot my luggage, she admits happily. While she's gathering it up, a cavalier spaniel approaches on the sidewalk, and she pets the crap out of it without bothering to look up at the owner. She's cooing and loving all over the dog when she hears, "Miss Scott," to which she snaps to attention and stands up. "What are you doing here?" she says accusingly. And it's Donovan Darcy. He smiles at her and says, "You act as if I'm invading your territory when in fact you're invading mine." She protests. "I thought you'd live in a palatial estate somewhere." "Well, I do," he says. "Live in Connecticut, but this is where I stay when I'm in New York." "Of course," Elizabeth says with obvious disdain. "You have a vacation home, and I'm sure you have ones in Hawaii and Europe." He's taken aback by this comment and asks, "Are you always this hostile?" She gives him a half-hearted apology, realizing that her behavior in this moment was unprovoked, and offers, "Well, at least we have the same taste in dogs." "Yes," he says proudly, "and I have a bitch at home that just gave birth to a litter of pups." I'm sorry, Mr. I just wanted to use the proper definition of bitch. He motions across the street, and she asks incredulously, "You live right across the street? Why didn't Gabrielle tell me that?" "I don't know," he says while parting. "Perhaps you should ask her." Back in the apartment, Gabrielle's giving Elizabeth the rundown of what's going to happen at the next dog show. They're both sitting at the dining room table, but Elizabeth is a million miles away. "Hello," Gabrielle finally says. "What's gotten into you?" "Oh," Elizabeth says, smacking back to reality. Why didn't you tell me Donovan Darcy lived next door?" Gabby says, smiling. "Oh, you've run into him already, hmm?" "You mean," Elizabeth corrects, "did we run into the wall of our mutual dislike?" "Yes, yes, we did." "He does not dislike you," Gabrielle argues. "Girl, the way he was looking at you at the dog show was as if he was a starved pooch and you were the biggest, sexiest milkbone he had ever seen."
"Oh,
please," Lizzie protests. "He was looking so far down his nose at me, he must have gotten vertigo." Just then, there's a at the door, and it's Zara, Darcy's little sister. Gabrielle invites her in. "Donovan asked me to come over," she gushes, "and invite you all to see the puppies." She rounds the corner while adding, "And he says to bring your house guests too." She stops when she sees Elizabeth. "You look familiar." Elizabeth smiles politely. "We met at the restaurant," she says. "Oh," Zara laughs, "you were the one without the manners." At least yes. That's what my brother said. "Oh, and sorry," she apologizes. "My brother also says I don't have a filter." "So I'll see you both tomorrow at 3 for the puppy date." She heads out and Gabrielle nods knowingly. "See, I told you he wanted to see you again."
Yeah, I'm really sure that Donovan would use the word like bitch, particularly in reference to his beloved Figgy.
His lovely bitch. She's a lovely bitch.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. That just makes it all. You know where I would use the word bitch? The way that Elizabeth was towards Donovan in the restaurant.
Biatch.
That's me.
Guilty.
Guilty as charged. You call. The next day, Elizabeth and Gabrielle go across the street to Donovan so they can see the puppies. Linus the butler answers the door, and I love that his name is Linus, and greets them warmly. Hello. Mr. Darcy sends his regrets as a business emergency came up, so he couldn't be here. Elizabeth smugly elbows Gabrielle, and Gabrielle gives her a you better check yourself elbow back. That's like us. Like, we would totally be elbowing each other, too. No, you. No, you.
Fall off the porch. What's going on there? We're just having a conversation. With our elbows.
When we went to the bathroom when we were over at my parents' house, and my mom thought that we were talking smack about her because we were laughing so hard from the bathroom.
She's like, what were you guys saying there? We have no idea. We just constantly laugh at each other with the drop of a hat. She made a face. And then you made a face. And then you made a face back. And then on and on and on.
He was very disappointed that he wouldn't be here to show you the puppies, but wanted to make sure that you came in and spent some time with them. He's very proud of them. They come into the house and Linus gestures towards a little foot-high white picket fence that has been set up to the side of the room. Inside the fence is the Mama Figgy and her pups, and they are adorable. Or as Tam likes to call Figgy, the bitch, and her pups, and they are adorable.
You're just cute little bitches. Yes, you're such cute little bitches. Those were the cutest dang puppies I've ever seen, though. Oh, my God. I was like, I just want to smoosh them all over my face.
They were very cute. Elizabeth and Gabrielle are drawn to them, ooing over the cuteness of it all, when Linus glances over to the other side of the room and is reminded of the company he wishes they didn't have. Feelings?
Oh my God, don't even, I can't with that. I'm just going to use that B word in the wrong word way, and I can't because I could, nope. Mm-mm. I'm using it only the right way today. Nope.
Yes, and may I also present Mr. Darcy's aunt, Miss Violet Darcy, and Miss Felicity Robson, a friend of the family. Elizabeth, who has already picked up a cute little pupper, and Gabrielle turn around. Gabrielle says tersely, hello, Violet. Methinks she has had past experiences with her. Elizabeth extends her hand. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. So nice to meet you. She walks over to shake their hands, but they just stare. And Violet says icily, is it? Shall I have Linus get you a lint brush? She eyes Elizabeth up and down. Violet turns back towards Felicity. Now, Felicity, you've known Donovan for how long? Felicity smiles adoringly back at Violet. Since he was 16 and I was 14, Donovan is best friends with my brother. Both women might as well be dropping their drawers and squatting on the floor to pee because they are peeing all over Donovan and it's awkward. Just then, Zara comes in and Elizabeth greets her warmly. I love your puppy so much, Zara agrees. They're just the cutest. She then turns and asks the room, where's Donovan? I need help with my history paper. She approaches Violet and gives her air kisses in greeting. Elizabeth enthusiastically says, oh, I'm happy to help you. Violet rolls her eyes. That's not appropriate, no. Felicity will help you. Zara looks over at Elizabeth and says, but Elizabeth is a teacher. And Felicity pipes up, you know, they have history classes in Ivy League colleges, too, and I just happened to graduate summa cum laude. Show me where you're stuck. I'm sure I can help. Zara, with a look of despair, heads out of the room, knowing her needs won't be met, and Felicity follows after. Violet looks after them fondly. You know, it's important that Felicity establish a good relationship with Zara, as Donovan and Felicity are going to be married soon. Gabrielle snort laughs. And Violet pointedly ignores her and grabs the puppy from Elizabeth's hands.
Oh, look at that face! Look at that face! Look at that
face. Tamara is shaking her head. Her lips have fully disappeared. How you feel about the little puppy snatching incident?
First of all, Elizabeth did not look shoddy or anything when she entered that house, and she asked if she wanted to lint brush, and then, honey, you've been playing with the puppies too, so don't act like you're all pure and without hair, okay? And then to go take the puppy away from Elizabeth when there's like four other ones just tootling around in the little caged area, it's, why is she such a pain in the ass, and why does she hate Elizabeth?
A pain in the ass?
I don't get it. I don't want to say it.
A pain in the ass.
I'm not going to say it. She's a pain in the ass. She's a word that rhymes with rich that I am not going to use. It's only for the dogs.
She grabs the puppy from Elizabeth's hands. Come to mama, she says to the pupper, and she walks away.
And the dog starts whimpering and crying in pain all over itself because she is evil personified.
Once Gabrielle and Elizabeth are safely outside on the sidewalk, Elizabeth lets loose. Donovan Darcy doesn't care one bit for me. He wasn't there to greet us with the puppies, and Violet said he was practically engaged. Gabrielle dismisses her misgivings. I'm sure there was a perfectly good reason why he wasn't there, and if he wanted to marry Felicity, he would have done so ages ago. That night, Elizabeth is walking with Bliss, enjoying the evening, when she sees a town car pull up across the street. She leans up against the light pole and, peering around, holds Bliss up. Look at that, she says, as a couple of people dressed in tuxes exit the car and head into the Darcy brownstone. But one person turns around, back towards the car. And when she sees it's Donovan, she gasps and hides behind the light pole. But it's too late. He spotted her. Number 8, he calls. Lovely night for a walk. Elizabeth peers back around and he smiles at her and turns to go into the brownstone.
I just don't like how he calls her a number. You know her name.
I love it. It's so cute.
I don't like it. I don't like it. No.
His little nickname. Little love nickname.
Okay.
Pam and I obviously have very opposing views on this, and that's fine.
Thank you, Dog Show Judge. It is a lovely night for a walk.
That's what I'd be like, Judge Donovan. Doggy Judge.
That puts all kinds of... Yeah, that puts all kinds of thoughts in my head that I'm not mad at.
Oh! Are they Hallmark pure thoughts is the question.
Are they Hallmark what?
Hallmark pure thoughts, what did you... TM?
Oh, God, no. Please. That is just... Ooh. I'm here to besmirch the good Hallmark name with my bad, dirty thoughts.
Well... The next day, Jenna arrives early at Gabrielle's to surprise Elizabeth. She'd already been planning to come down for a bridal show, but couldn't resist a bit of a sister vacay beforehand. Next, we are at the Mayfair Dog Show. The ring is in the center of the room and chairs are positioned around it. Jenna says, I wish I'd brought pom-poms so I could be head cheerleader for Rose and Blossom, the pups that Gabrielle and Elizabeth are showing. The three of them stop and seated in the front row. Felicity, Donovan, Felicity's brother, and Zara. Elizabeth points out Felicity and Donovan. See, they're practically married. Felicity is stuck to Donovan like glue. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Violet appears and says in her husky, smooth voice, I invited Felicity. Not that Felicity or any of my family or guests are any of your concern.
Meow.
What the fuck was she doing? Listening into their conversation with the miracle ear, waiting for the right moment to materialize in front of them? Fucking creepy.
She has spies, see? She knows all. She sees all.
Oh my gosh. There's like tons of people with the tin can telephone being like, she's moving. Make the line totter so I can hear. Gabrielle finally shows a moment of weakness. Oh, she gets to me. She owns 5 dogs that are showing here, and she thinks that means she rules the circuit.
Jenna assesses the situation.
That's the woman you showed me who was in the papers with Donovan, right? She gestures over at Felicity. Gabrielle says, yep. Jenna smiles. Then why is Donovan looking at Elizabeth instead of his supposed love interest, Felicity? Elizabeth hears none of this. She's too busy fantasizing about Donovan telling her that she has the finest dog in all the lands, and that he knew he loved her from the moment he saw her, and does she want to run away with him?
But yes, yes, she does.
We return our focus to the dog show and away from Elizabeth's fantasies.
Damn it.
You were waiting for an October Chested moment there, weren't you?
I was enjoying her fantasies immensely. I was like, me and you both, girl. Let's just wallow in these fields for a little bit. Yes, yes.
Elizabeth, Gabrielle, and Jenna are also seated in a front row, but in a different section than the Darcy crew. They are lightly chatting with each other and watching the show when Zara takes a seat next to Elizabeth and whispers, "I know why Donovan wasn't there the day you came to see the puppies. Aunt Violet told him that there was an emergency at the foundation and that he was needed there. ASAP," she whispers softer. "She knew you were coming." Elizabeth is puzzled. "How would she know that?" Zara responds, "She knows all kinds of things she shouldn't know. Donovan thinks she has a spy in the house." "Ah, she's looking at me. I gotta go." She gets up, but then bends over. "I still need help with my history paper. Can I come over tomorrow?" Elizabeth says, "Of course." Then Elizabeth's number gets called. She walks into the ring and says, "Mr. Darcy." He looks at her, "Miss Scott," and gestures with his head over to the judge he's training. "Mr. Bingley will be joining us today. Please put your dog on the platform." Donovan studies the dog and says, "Her back should be slender and agile, and her body the breadth of a man's hands." And then looking into Elizabeth's eyes, says, "She should also possess eyes of fire and intelligence." Elizabeth's brow furrows. "What are you saying?" Mr. Bingley says. He's quoting the breed standard of border terriers. A slight smile plays across Donovan's face as he says sternly, "Mr. Bingley, what does the standard say about terriers' temperament?" As he maintains eye contact with Elizabeth, Bingley says, "The dog should be sweet and affectionate." Donovan says, "Sweet and affectionate. Valuable qualities. Miss Scott, may we see your dog on the down and back?" And she says, "You may, Mr. Darcy," with a slight smile to her face. She finishes her turn. He thanks her. And as she leaves the ring, Gabrielle, who is about to enter, says, "Now that was entertaining." In addition to the flirtation of it all between Darcy and Elizabeth, Jenna, who is now sitting by herself, gets approached by none other than Felicity's brother and Donovan's best friend, Henry. He slides into the seat next to her. "Hi there, I'm Henry." He extends his hand and Jenna shakes it, saying, "Jenna." Just then, Elizabeth sits down next to her. Jenna says, "Elizabeth, this is Henry." Elizabeth smiles. "You're Donovan's best friend." He replies, "Yep. I can regale you with all kinds of stories about how we got into trouble in our youth." He then leans across Jenna towards Elizabeth and whispers, "Do you mind if I ask for your sister's number? I'd like to ask her out." Jenna is thoroughly charmed. "You know, you can ask me right now." He turns to her. "Tonight?" She smiles. "I'd love to." He grabs his phone and hands it over to her. "I'm still going to need your number. Mind entering it?" Just then, Felicity comes over, very friendly, and sits down next to Henry. "Henry, there you are." "Hi," he responds. "How are you, Elizabeth?" says Felicity. Henry does a double take. "You know each other?" Felicity smiles warmly. "Yes, Elizabeth and I met at Donovan's house, remember?" Henry responds, "Ah, yes." He turns back to Jenna and Elizabeth. "Well, it was so lovely meeting the Scott sisters, and I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight, Jenna." He nods towards them both and escorts his sister, who is staring daggers at Elizabeth, back to where the Darcy party is sitting. The final judging is called, and Elizabeth goes back to the ring to stand in a line with the other contestants as Darcy walks back and forth, assessing all the dogs. He then pauses in front of Elizabeth. "Our winner," he says, and breaks into a small smile, and then moves over to Gabrielle and announces, "Our reserve winner." He then puts a ribbon around Gabrielle's neck and then around Elizabeth, saying softly to her, "Congratulations." Everybody claps, and Elizabeth's excitement is short-lived as she sees Donovan leave the ring and hug Felicity. And Elizabeth is confused.
She doesn't care, though. She doesn't care. Donovan doesn't care about her, and she does not care about Donovan. He could be married to Felicity. She does not care. She says it over and over again.
I just love how Jenna and Henry are just like, "Hey, I like you. Yeah, I think you're kind of cool, too. Hey, let's go out." It's just that easy. If you just are straightforward about it, it can be just that easy.
That is not the Hallmark way. The Hallmark way is to move across the street temporarily from the person that you're interested in. Do all kinds of dog walks around their house while ignoring them and being rude when you see them. And then enter the dog shows where you're a judge and then say all kinds of sassy things to them and tell everybody that you don't like them. And then we'll have to find out how the rest plays out. But that's the Hallmark way. I say something else about Jenna and her forwardness that I appreciate later. So I share your sentiment.
Ooh,
there, Corinne.
Nice.
It's just that easy. Sometimes just getting to the point. Mm-hmm. And we will get to that eventually. After the show, the ladies take to the park to enjoy their spoils over glasses of champagne.
Champagne.
Champagne. "If this is what winning feels like, I could get used to it," Elizabeth says. They congratulate each other over being masters of the dog show universe. And then Jenna tells her sister, "Oh, I almost forgot. I also brought your mail here." She fishes it out of her bag and hands it to her. "Well, I'm off to meet Henry. Wish me luck." As Jenna leaves, Gabrielle shares, "Oh, what a good catch Henry is." But Elizabeth is focused on a letter she opened from home. "I can't believe this," she utters bitterly. "Grant Markham is going to sue me for fraudulent accusations? I told the truth about him." Gabrielle takes the letter, saying, "This is ridiculous." She looks at it, but Elizabeth, incensed by the news, gets up and announces, "I'm going for a walk." She stomps through the park with Bliss in tow until she hears a familiar voice call out, "Miss Scott, I'm glad I ran into you here." She turns towards the voice with remnants of angry tears in her eyes. It's Donovan Darcy again. "You don't have to say things that aren't true." "No, no, really," he says. "I wanted to apologize for not being there when you came to see the puppies. My aunt called me away for some exaggerated dilemma. Sometimes it's tough to stay ahead of her agenda." "Is that what you consider a real problem?" Elizabeth asks. "Depends," he counters, "on what you consider a problem. Poor, sick," she lists off, "oppressed, hungry." "Just because those things aren't on my list does not mean my list is empty." "Oh, really?" She starts to walk away from him. "I taught at a prestigious school, and any time a student had a problem, their parent would come and make it go away, including teachers." Her voice breaks, and he asks, "Are you crying?" "No," she protests. "I'm not crying." She's totally crying. "I don't cry." She's lying. She's about 5 seconds away from a snot show.
Totally.
And she storms off away from him. If I feel her so hard, because if I could change one thing about myself, it would be not to turn into a blubbering mess every time I'm upset. Ugh. Hard conversation. "I'm not crying." Emotional conversation. "I'm not crying." Stupid, sad commercial. "I'm not crying." Flash mob. "I am not crying." Don't ask me why flash mobs make me cry. They just do.
I'm more like, "I'm crying, but don't mind me. I'm fine."
A little later, the girls are at the wedding show. Jenna and Lizzie are sitting in the audience having a heart-to-heart. "I love Henry," Jenna says. "He's the one." "It's so easy for you," Elizabeth says. But Jenna ain't having it. "You can fall too, sis, if you just give love a chance." Ooh. "What about Donovan? You guys are electric around each other." That was supposed to be a lightning bolt, but that didn't come off really good.
I thought I saw some sparks coming with that one, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
"You guys are electric." "So you should go and get that big D. And by D, I mean Donovan Darcy."
I was like, "Just oh, whoa. Big D, huh? Wow.
That big double D.
Donovan Darcy. Just then, Violet and Felicity waltz in, flanked by paparazzi. Violet announces, Felicity expects to be engaged soon, so she is on the hunt for the perfect wedding dress. Elizabeth throws Felicity daggers with her eyes. The show concludes and Elizabeth and Jenna are both left, and Elizabeth tells her sis she should not marry him. She's too good for him. Jenna proposes, why don't I just ask if they're engaged? Oh, no, better yet, I can ask Henry. Now, I still say she's too sweet, Lizzie continues, and he's too cold. Of course, Felicity is right behind her because that's what they do. They sneak up behind you with their tin can phones and hear everything.
I know that you put it in the notes that they were at the wedding show, but honestly, and I've seen this movie a total of 4 times, maybe even 5, I don't know, but I hadn't put it together that that was the wedding show that Jenna was going to, why she came up to New York City to go to that wedding show for work. I was just like, oh, they're at some kind of wedding place, huh? Okay, whatever. And when you were telling it, I was like, wait, they're at the wedding? Oh, they're at the wedding show. The one that Jenna's
the
supposed to be
wedding
going
show, Corinne.
The wedding
the
show.
Jenna came to New York to go to a wedding show. This is the wedding show. Oh. Okay, let me start again. Jenna, who's in town for this wedding show, this one right here, this one we're going to talk about right now.
My brain hamster's like, wait, what? Stops on the wheel, starts swinging back and forth.
No, you know why I figured that out? Because in my initial draft of notes, I had put that they were at another dog show because they're always in the audience at the dog show. And then I was like, wait, what? What's a lady in a wedding dress doing at the dog show? Oh, bitches be crazy. And then I finally went back, and then when I pieced it together, I'm like, they're at a wedding show. Why are they? Oh, this is the wedding show. Okay. I'm like, they're not getting married. What's going on here? Oh, their mom has a bridal shop. And then, oh, ding, 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 ding.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad that, like, I'm not the only one. I mean, it took me way longer than you, but still.
The distinguishing thing that told you it was a wedding show is they have one lady in a wedding dress across the screen for, like, 2 seconds. And if you blink or look down to write something in your notes, you're going to miss it. And they're just in an audience somewhere doing something.
They really didn't work to establish that very hard. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm dying. No.
It's lucky our dear listeners have us here to explain it all to them. Or if somebody could explain it to us.
Tamara and Corinne get remedial.
So, of course, Felicity's right behind her and heard the whole shit-talking tour Lizzie just went on. You know, Felicity says with fake sweetness, Donovan has been a good friend to me as long as I can remember. He's a good man. And I heard everything you just said. A little devil, Felicity, pops up on her shoulder with horns and a pitchfork and grins at the sisters while saying, and I'm gonna tell him, I'm gonna tell him. But Jen, in spite of it all, asks directly, are you engaged? Because Jenna's a boss-ass bitch, and if we had more Jennas in Hallmark movies, they'd probably be a lot shorter.
Truth. Or maybe they could just get more into character development. I don't know.
Nah.
She asks if they're engaged, and Felicity smiles at her and says, our families have an understanding that someday we would be married. It's up to Donovan to decide when, and I fully intend on being ready. And Violet approaches the group and says, come, Felicity! And she flounces away. When they leave, Jenna whispers, see? She's not engaged. To which Elizabeth says, I don't care.
You
yes, do. You do care.
You do care.
Yes, you so do. You 1,000% do. The next day, Elizabeth and Zara are at an outdoor cafe with a stack of books between them. I totally get it now, Zara says, and you are a way better teacher than Felicity. Well, at least she tried, Elizabeth defends, and she may soon be your sister-in-law. Zara scoffs. She wishes Donovan is not going to marry her. He yawns when she's around, not like you. He's fully awake when he talks to you, ooh, if you know what I mean.
Winky, winky, winky. Winky.
She smiles a little bit because she knows exactly what that means.
They walk back to their respective houses together, and when Zara knocks on her door, Donovan answers and smiles at Elizabeth as she waves goodbye. And somebody please tell me why this girl, who's a full-ass grown teenager, does not have a key to her own damn house and has to knock on the door.
I have an answer.
I knew you did. That's why I asked the question.
I wrote in my notes, because she doesn't need one because there's always help to answer the door. We grew up without help to answer the door.
Okay. That would just be annoying to me. Like, I would just want to walk in the door, not, where is Linus? Oh, he's taking his sweet time. He must be making some tasty quiche or something in the kitchen. And it takes him like 2 minutes to answer the door. Okay. We'll go with that.
People do their dishes for them. Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
I need a second alone with that thought.
Yeah, you and me both.
So the girl doesn't need a key because she has a butler. As Donovan waves at her, Elizabeth gets a starry look in her eyes, and it is obvious that she's catching the feels, and it's getting harder and harder for her to deny it.
Ooh! Elizabeth finally gets her "I'm looking at the woman in the mirror" moment. She comes home after tutoring Zara. Elizabeth effuses to Gabrielle and Jenna about what an awesome smarty Zara is. Gabrielle agrees and remarks that that's in large part due to Donovan, who has been raising Zara since he was 21 and she was 5, after their parents died in a boating accident. Elizabeth feels like an asshat for assuming that everything good magically happens for Donovan because he has money. She goes to her room to reflect and feel super crappy, and Gabrielle and Jenna hang out in the living room. Gabrielle shows an online musing to Jenna about whether or not Donovan is engaged. Gabrielle senses Violet's hand in this and starts hatching a plan to get back at her. Don't mess with Gabrielle. The next morning, Gabrielle has Elizabeth take Blossom and Rose to the pet spa. Ooh la la. Elizabeth is confused because she typically grooms them, but Gabrielle insists that she just wants them to look extra spiff for the upcoming dog show. Elizabeth leaves and Gabrielle sips her tea, looking like the cat that got the canary. While Elizabeth is waiting for her puppers to get groomed, she hears a familiar voice. She looks up and it's Donovan in the other room. Oh shit! Elizabeth springs behind a shoji screen. Donovan walks into the lobby, grabs some water, and then moves out of view. Elizabeth peers cautiously around the corner of the screen, just as Donovan peers around the other side. Hi, Donovan. I didn't expect to see you here. Donovan looks puzzled. Hello, Elizabeth. I must be Frank. I'm wondering the same thing. What are you doing here? Elizabeth responds, well, Gabrielle wanted me to take Rose and Blossom here before the show. Donovan ponders, during the time when she knows I take Figgy every week. Elizabeth blushes. Dun, dun,
dun. Seriously.
Bright red. Oh, Gabrielle is trying to push us together. If I have known, I never would have come. I am so sorry. Donovan graciously says, no, don't worry about it. Elizabeth says, I'm actually kind of glad I ran into you. I've been wanting to apologize for the way I acted the other day. I had gotten some bad news and I took it out on you. Saying that you didn't have problems was really out of line. I mean, I've met your aunt. She's problem enough. She doesn't actually say the last part, but I bet she thinks it.
We were all thinking it. Yeah. We were all thinking it.
Donovan is gracious. I didn't take it personally, and I wanted to thank you for helping Zara. She says you're a great teacher and has really benefited from your time and experience. Elizabeth lights up. She's a great student, and I can tell she really values you and your relationship. You two have something special. I admire you for raising her, particularly when you were so young yourself. Donovan reflects. She's the one who has gotten me through some truly trying circumstances. Elizabeth says, I don't know why I thought that money protects people from pain or the need to work. Donovan questions her. You think I don't work? She says, well, other than counting your money. A slight smile plays on his lips and he gets a twinkle in his eyes. Well,
Clearly, you have no idea how much work counting money is. And once you're done, you have to start all over again. It's a chore, to be sure. Also, swimming in a pool full of coins is really hard.
A la Scrooge McDuck.
Yes. DuckTales. Woo! Elizabeth smiles. You know, sometimes you're almost charming. Donovan cocks his head. I'm sorry. Did I hear you right? Did you just call me charming? She smirks. Almost. Not quite. Just then, in the category of small dogs are much mightier than they look, a medium small dog shakes its wet self off, splashing them with water. Although they look dry, they acted out beautifully. Donovan ducks to the side and grabs them towels. They laugh and gaze at each other with hard eyes, while Elizabeth says, "Wow, that pup really got you," and dabs him with a towel. Donovan chuckles, responding, "You should see yourself. They are close together. There is legit sexual tension between them." And Figgy gets brought out, beautifully groomed. Elizabeth gushes over Figgy, and then Donovan gets ready to go. But before he does, he looks over at Elizabeth and says, "Well, it was almost a pleasure speaking with you." Elizabeth half smiles. "Almost." And he walks off.
I have to say that was so just like love take two, where the dog's like yanking the full grown man across the park. I'm like, samesies. This one's like right under that. Like this teeny tiny dog just like ankle level like shakes. And they're like, "Oh, I'm so drenched. Oh, you're such a mess." I'm like, at least you could do like a Great Dane, a husky, something medium sized, not this teeny tiny little dog.
And something with a vast amount of fur. It had some fur, but there wasn't a lot of fur. There wasn't a lot of dog.
No. You got my shoe wet. That would have not been an intimate moment at all. You just get this paper towel and wash it. Okay, they were done.
I know. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck they didn't, like, at least spray them down with some water or something is beyond me. And I gotta hand it to both of the actors, because they did a good job of, even though they were completely dry, pretending like they were doused with water.
But yes. And he did it pathetic. Injured.
Yes.
A Grammy Award goes to Ryan. Ugh.
The next day, Elizabeth walks into Gabrielle's living room to find Violet and Gabrielle having a heated exchange. Gabrielle says, "You need to apologize." Violet disagrees. "I'll do no such thing. She is causing problems and I'm not going to stand for it." Elizabeth interrupts. "What's going on?" And Violet thrusts a copy of the newspaper's gossip column in her face. On it is a large picture of Donovan and Elizabeth standing close to each other, looking into each other's eyes from when they got splattered by the dog at the groomers. The headline says, "Darcy the Cheater," in a very large font. Violet enunciates, "Let me read. Donovan Darcy was seen canoodling with a blonde beauty yesterday. This writer would like to know if this means Donovan is a cheat, or if the engagement is off between him and Felicity." Elizabeth is mortified to be caught in the middle of all of this. Violet says, "If you don't stay away from my nephew, I will make sure you regret it." Elizabeth, teary but firm, says, "I see no reason to continue this conversation. Please go." Violet raises her eyebrows. "I've said what I need to." And she turns on her heel and leaves. Elizabeth looks at her aunt, panic-stricken. "This is so bad. If the press finds out who I am, then the whole situation with Grant Markham will be published as well, making me look really bad, and I won't be able to get another teaching position. If cameras are following around Donovan, then I have to avoid him." Gabrielle says, "Well, that's going to be hard to do. He's going to be judging the terriers at the dog show this weekend." And I will say that I actually think that Elizabeth's concerns are legit. Which I think a lot of times they make situations that are just like completely super ridiculous. But if you wanted to like work in a high-end private school and they're like, who is that mystery woman? And then they're like, oh, she's the one that got fired from her position at a prep school for taking bribes. Yeah, that's not going to be good for the resume.
Legitimate claim, but I do believe that Google exists in this world. And if I just...
But right now the stuff about Markham isn't out there.
You left out the part in this last scene where she says there's no seduction going on, and I absolutely hated that. I'm like, seduction? Seduction? Elizabeth says to Violet, there is no seduction here. And I'm like, that was one word that just got stuck in my craw.
Violet says something about her seducing him.
If I was seducing your man, you would know it.
You come out in some sexy lingerie, some lacy lingerie. Hey there, bad boy. How's it going? Oh, my strap's a little loose on my top. Can you help me?
Oh, that doggy got me all wet. I'm going to have to take off these dirty, wet clothes. Ma'am, it's just your pant. Like, I'm just going to have to take everything off. It's soiled. It's absolutely soiled. At the next dog show, Elizabeth is looking around paranoid. I feel like there's cameras everywhere, she says to Gabrielle. Oh, pish posh, Gabby says. All those papers are tomorrow's news already. Nobody cares. Just then, Lizzie spots Felicity. I have to talk to her, she exclaims. She beelines it over to her in the audience and takes the empty seat next to Felicity. I just want to explain, Elizabeth says, that the picture in the paper gave the wrong impression. It was completely innocent. Oh, I'm sure, Felicity says sweetly. I know Donovan is very loyal, and I'm sure the photo was an accident. Ugh. Yes, Elizabeth agrees. If I had my way, I'd be nowhere near Donovan Darcy. If I could, I would avoid him completely, forever. Just then, Felicity looks over Elizabeth's shoulder and a man clears his throat. Winds up that motherfucker Darcy sat down right next to her, and of course, he heard everything with his tin can phones and string. He knew they were talking to Adam and came on over. Miss Scott, he says amused, I believe you're number one today. She gives her armband an exaggerated point and says, yeah, well, I'm gonna, and awkwardly gets up to leave. As she does, Violet runs into her and hisses, I can't believe you have the nerve to show your face here.
Ugh.
Darcy comes in and interjects, Aunt, please. Aunt Elizabeth scuttles away to sit next to Gabrielle. Don't let that dragon lady frighten you, she tells Elizabeth as she takes her seat. It's not that, Elizabeth argues. I don't belong here. The public attention, the plights, the intrigue. Ugh. Just then, number one is called, and Lizzie has to hamper all her emotions to show some dogs. She encounters Darcy the judge again, and while he examines her pup, they have a little chat. You act as if I offend you, he says quietly. Oh, she retorts, you didn't see that picture in the paper? You do well, he advises, to ignore those gossip rags. Maybe you can ignore what people think of you, but that is not a luxury I have. It's not a luxury, he corrects. It's a choice. And a choice you have because you're wealthy. He sends her way on the down and back to put her in her place. She needs to know who's boss, and she does saucily, much to the annoyance of Violet and Felicity, who are looking on. As Elizabeth returns to her chair, she announces to Gabrielle that Donovan Darcy is the most annoying human she has ever encountered. Then there's the judging, and once again, Elizabeth wins first place. Or wait, it's a dog show. As Donovan puts the ribbon around her neck, she asks, what are you doing? People are whispering and talking. If you keep making a fuss, he informs, they will whisper and talk more.
She smiles for a few seconds at the audience and participants and then rips off the ribbon and walks away. She meets Gabrielle after the show and she is thrilled. Just one more win and my pup will have enough points to be an official champion. But they're approached by the circuit judge who says, "There's a scandal afoot." He grandly snaps the paper open, revealing the scandalous photo from the dog groomer. There is a conflict of interest. It appears there's been some intimacy between the judge and the handler. Both Elizabeth and Darcy deny it, and Donovan adds, "This is surely my aunt's doing." The judge informs Gabrielle, "I will let today's win stand under the condition that you get another handler for your dog when Mr. Darcy is judging terriers." She argues, "But he's judging the next three dog shows." And Elizabeth concedes, "Don't bother. This is his world," she says, "and he has the right to show me the door, and I'll go if the truth is beside the point. Good day to you, sirs."
"Yes,"
Donovan says, "I'm glad to argue the point," to which Elizabeth says, "I said good day." The ladies leave in a huff. And Lizzie tells Gabrielle that she's going to have to find somebody else to show her dogs. "You can't leave," Elizabeth says, stopping her in her tracks. "Not only did I set you up to be at the dog groomers at the same time as Darcy, I may have called the papers to tell them you were there." Elizabeth looks at the woman who has took her in and says, "Curse your sudden but completely avoidable betrayal, and I did not see that coming." Gabrielle looks at her sheepishly and admits, "I'm sorry. I was just trying to get one over on Violet." That night, Elizabeth arrives at Gabrielle's brownstone, and Darcy is there at her door. He says, "No wonder no one was answering." He wants to apologize, and she says, "Hell nah." But then she remembers how he brings out her sassiness and adds, "Well, I'd like to be mad at you, but technically this wasn't your fault." She invites him in to talk, but he wants to go elsewhere. But she's quite tired of being splashed all over the papers. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. "Well," Darcy proposes, "I have an art director friend that has a secluded room with an art collection, including a Kingfisher Spaniel painting that was owned by Queen Elizabeth, which seems a little ridiculous since I live across the street, and yes, my aunt has spies, but I am a grown-ass man who doesn't answer to her, but whatever, let's go the more difficult route." "You mean Dash?" Elizabeth says excitedly. "Give me a minute," and she rushes inside to change. They go to the Fancy Pants art director's house and are having tea while surrounded by old paintings. And can I just say how much I hated that she was pouring him tea? He invited her to the house and she is pouring him tea. And I know it's probably a nod back to the old story. Let me show you what a good wife and a hostess I can be. But that just rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay. So I completely agree with you. I think it's weird. I also think that she was probably doing it to show her independence. Like, I don't need you. I can pour tea for me, and I can pour tea for you. I think that she was, quote, sticking it to the man, but accidentally adhering to really bad gender roles along the way. I completely agree with you. I was like, why the fuck is she pouring him fucking tea? Don't pour his fucking tea. Damn it.
Hand him the hot pot right in his hand.
You see, women have special hands, and they don't get burning when they touch hot things like teapots. Men's hands, they go, oh, it's so hot,
Little known fact, women's hands are like pot holders, therefore they can touch hot things, which is why they're always in the kitchen, see? That's
what?
How it works.
What?
There's no gender roles here, they're just, by nature, more well equipped to do the cooking and the cleaning because their hands are indestructible. That's why she was pouring tea. Yes. No. He apologizes for his cavalier remark about their photo in the paper and adds, "Gabrielle tells me you plan to go back to D.C. I tried convincing the circuit director to lift your band, and perhaps you should wait to see what he says." "No," Elizabeth objects, "I know how these things work, and I'm already imposing on Gabrielle." "Well, then impose on me." She is genuinely surprised. Are you asking me to stay with you and get naked and spoon in bed with you at night?
That's not what she said at all. That's what I said just now after I said that.
I'll say with you yes, yes, please. Oh, yeah, I'll take it. I will take it.
We're doing a podcast, Tamara. Get out of your head and back on the mic. Are you asking me to stay with you? Okay, now back to reality. No, he says. I'm offering you a temporary position watching my puppies. I'm going out of town. My butler and Czar are coming with me. And the puppies need a lot of handling. They're just like their owner. If you know what I mean. Elizabeth says, I appreciate the offer, but the last thing I want is to be indebted to you. And he interrupts her. There's your snobbish pride again. She reaches for a platter of sweets, but he pulls it away. No, 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 he says. I wouldn't want you to be indebted to me. She scoffs. Donovan, you cannot blackmail me into working for you. He picks up a cookie and rubs it between his fingers, and she says, I got a cookie you could play with.
Oh.
No, she doesn't. She says, okay, fine. If I can eat the cake, I will look after your puppies. He smiles knowingly and hands her the macaroon. And I'm just like, what the fuck, lady? Seriously, why are you calling that a cake? This is the most bizarre scene in the whole movie. She eats a cookie and calls it a cake. And Corinne, thoughts?
I could not remember what the name of that kind of cookie was for the life of me, the macaroon. And so when you named it, I was like, thank goodness, because I was like, that is not a cake. That is a thing. You know that thing. I don't like them, and they're disappointing to me.
It's a thing that's not a cake. It's a thing that's not a cake.
Cake is better. Two thoughts. One, yes. Everything you say, yes. Two, guiltily, I actually think it's kind of hot when he's like, no, no, I wouldn't want you to be indebted to me. And she's like... And he pulls the cake thing away. And I know it's like totally piss off worthy. But I'm like. Ah! And I feel horrible about it. Guilty confession. Guilty
jump
confession.
Over this table. And all this expensive art and just have my way with you.
Seriously. Oh my gosh. Oh. Yeah.
I did not finish because he hands her the macaroon, and she demure, or cake, whatever, macaroon cake,
it's tomato, macaroon, tomato. But they're calling it cake. Why? No, we don't know.
He hands it to her. She demurely takes a bite while he says, people say I'm ruthless in my business dealings, and I can't imagine why. He's shrewd in his business dealings, and they're eating macaroons, not cake. That's it. I'm done.
Done. Later, Donovan has Elizabeth over to give her the puppy rundown. He hands her a key to the house, and she looks at him questioningly. Is Felicity going to mind that I have a key? Donovan is taken aback. Why would she care? Elizabeth responds, well, she was looking at wedding dresses the other day. Donovan scoffs. Felicity and I aren't engaged. Not that I haven't thought about it. Elizabeth probes. So, you're in love with her? I'm sorry, that's not my business. And Donovan responds practically, you don't need love to marry, just enough aligning interests to make things work, respect for each other, and a general enjoyment of their company. Perhaps only fools wait for passion to come and kick them in the chest and steal their wits. Elizabeth looks at him guardedly. Well, for what it's worth, I think you and Felicity are very well suited for each other. You would be a fool not to marry her. Anyway, I'm going to take Bliss for a walk. She turns her back to him, and he approaches her. Elizabeth, she heads out of the room. Have a good trip, she says as she leaves Donovan, already a bit kicked in the chest by Elizabeth. Elizabeth has been very listless ever since Donovan left. She sets down her book, not sure what to do with herself, when Jenna comes into the room and lets her know that Henry invited her to a tennis tournament / ball. She prevails upon Elizabeth to go with her. That's like ball is in a dancing ball, not a tennis ball. She prevails upon Elizabeth to go with her, feeling nervous about going alone, and insists that it will not interfere with her puppy handling duties. Plus, the house they're staying at is more like a hotel, so sounds fun, right?
Yeah, sounds like a blast. Jenna, Henry, and Elizabeth arrive at a beautiful country estate. Jenna and Elizabeth are in awe. There are valets to park cars and grab luggage, and people mill around. The place is huge and definitely more like staying at Downton Abbey than a house. As Henry says, "Ah, I see Zara," and runs off to find the host, Jenna and Elizabeth are left to wander the beautiful wood and stained glass rooms. Elizabeth looks at her sister suspiciously. "Did Henry just say Zara? Are we at Donovan Darcy's estate?" Jenna says a very suspicious, "I don't know." And their conversation is interrupted by dun 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 dun, Violet coming from behind. "Don't you know when you're not wanted? Don't you have a job or something to attend to?" Elizabeth wordlessly nopes on out of there. And I give her props for that. Like, fucking first when Violet, like, invites herself over to Gabrielle's house, she is like, "You get your fucking ass out of here." But she does it, like, much more politely. And then when Violet comes up throwing shade all over her, she's like, "I'm going to go find some sunshine. Bye-bye." Love it.
I might be forced to say something. I am that petty. I could.
Well, you're a Jenna. You rock on with your bad self.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's very sweet of you.
Sadly, I'm
Jenna gets Henry. Jenna doesn't get Darcy.
Okay. You know what? I would take Henry. He seems like a good guy, so, you know. But whatever. It's fine.
Can I just... Oh, Henry Darcy sandwich. A bestie sandwich.
You're like, that's the kind of bestie sandwich that I would be involved with.
Mm-hmm. Bestie sandwich where I'm the meat in the middle. Yes. Yes.
Jenna turns to Violet. "My sister has a very important job. She taught at Weston High School, one of the most prestigious prep schools in D.C. Jenna leaves to follow Elizabeth out to the pool while Violet's brain hamster starts churning away on the wheel. Squeaka, squeaka, squeaka. Nothing good can come from that. At first, all we see is Jenna and a very miffed Elizabeth. But then... Oh... arising from the water like King Neptune himself comes a very October-chested Donovan wearing just some droplets of water and a beautiful pair of tight swim shorts. I feel weird objectifying him like this, and also it is a sight to behold. I am so conflicted. How'd I do?
You're such a dork. What's a little worrying thing? I'm going to need a couple seconds to compose myself.
Is there any spots that I need to fill in?
I have no idea. I was just enamored with his physique, too. So I'm like, what? There's a story going on? Who's somebody else is here? No, sorry. Are we doing a podcast right now?
Okay. Oh, man. Okay, listeners, I have to say that I saw this movie for the first time, I don't know, sometime in the beginning of 2021. And I will say that I have hearkened back to that swimming pool moment at various times in the year to give me little private moments of joy.
Little pick-me-up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Donovan does his brotherly duty and takes his turn in the chess game he's playing with Zara, and then stands behind a chaise lounge that Felicity is laying out on poolside. The day just keeps getting better for Elizabeth, Zara says warmly. I didn't know you were coming, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth responds uncomfortably. If I'd have known that this is where we were coming, I wouldn't have come. Henry feigns ignorance. Oh, you didn't know? Jenna is very quiet. And Felicity, looking up at Donovan and grasping his hand, says, I don't know if we should believe her, Donovan. Donovan looks on wordlessly, and Zara chimes in, leaning on Donovan. Well, I'm super excited you're here. I'm about to checkmate my brother. Do you want the next game? Elizabeth does appreciate Zara, but is not interested in the drama of it all, and she begs off. I'm sorry, I've got to go. I'm going to go call a cab. Felicity waves goodbye at her, practically saying, Toodles! And Donovan looks down at Felicity with disdain. A bit of time has passed, and Elizabeth goes outside to wait for the cab, with Jenna trailing behind her. I don't understand why you're leaving. There's no reason for you to go. And I'm like, excuse me? Anywho, you do not get the Best Sister Award for that one. Elizabeth looks at Jenna. She's filled with despair and says, did you see the way Donovan was looking at me? Stick a fork in her. Jenna is done. But Donovan comes out, disappointingly in clothes, but still cutting a lovely figure in tennis whites, and says to her, how was I looking at you? Jenna leaves them to talk, and Elizabeth starts walking away. You don't have to leave. Zara wants you to stay. She pauses, her back to Donovan, and says, what do you want? He says, I also want you to stay. She gets a smile on her face and turns around. What will Aunt Violet say? He scoffs. You're afraid of my Aunt Violet?
I'm afraid of his Aunt Violet.
Seriously, me too. I'm afraid of his Aunt Violet. And she makes me spit rage, and I'm not even there. Elizabeth agrees. She's terrifying. Donovan gets a half smile on his face and leans a bit towards her. I'll tell you a secret. She's more afraid of you than you are of her. And I like to watch her squirm. So you can stay for that as well. Or don't stay if you'd rather go. But as far as Zara and I are concerned, you are welcome here. Elizabeth smiles bigger. Well, I do have a pretty fabulous dress to wear tonight. Donovan says, great. Then it's settled. Now I have a tennis match to win. And he turns to the house, leaves her out in the front, and heads towards the courts.
That, and I did not see him looking any certain bad kind of way at Elizabeth. Like, when he got out of the pool, maybe I was distracted by something other than his eyes. I didn't see, like, a disgusted look on his face.
I think she was talking about the look on his face when that whole conversation was standing and he was holding fucking Felicity's hand and stuff. No. He wasn't like looking at her being like, hey there, lover. Instead, he was just kind of like assessing the situation, looking stodgy and sort of looking down at Felicity and holding her fucking hand. Felicity's hand, not Elizabeth's
hand. She grabbed his hand. She grabbed his hand.
I agree. But, yes.
But she didn't say, look at them holding hands. She said, look at the way he was looking at me. Use your words, Elizabeth. You are a teacher. You probably could say it better. Clearer than that. Next, we're at Donovan's charity tennis match. So many balls. So many balls bouncing. He's owning his opponent. One, we totally did not know that he was injured in this little snippet. Nope. While Zara and Elizabeth sit in the stands. He's quite a hunk, isn't he? Zara says to her, and she claps politely. I'll keep my opinion of your brother to myself. Well, that's new. Zara is shocked because generally girls gush all over him, like Felicity, who's standing at the sidelines with a face full of enthusiasm and the most ridiculous side ponytail we've ever seen.
Oh my God, that side pony. Oh, it's so bad.
Darcy wins the match and the crowd stands, including Zara, who's...
It's the most anemic side pony ever.
Yeah, it's like not even touching her shoulder. It's like out and it's like dangling, but there's so little hair that it's not even touching her neck.
Ugh.
And it's curly, so they were trying to floof it up. And the pony was just like, let me die.
Yeah.
Let me die.
Oh. R.I.P. Tragic side pony Felicity. R.I.P.
Nope, not yet. That pony's got some work to do.
True.
Darcy wins the match and the crowd stands. Oh, wait, it's tennis. Including Zara, who's holding a crystal trophy. Usually I present him with this, but I think you should. She shoves the prize into Elizabeth's hands and runs away, giggling. Elizabeth is dumbfounded. Zara!
but it's no use, the girl is gone. So she reluctantly goes and presents him with the award. They have a little moment as she congratulates him, and he says, I look forward to seeing you in that fabulous dress tonight. She smiles and watches his beautiful backside as he walks away. While waiting for the ball to start, Elizabeth goes exploring. She's exploring the house. She's in a large atrium enjoying the beautiful grounds that she sees outside the window when she is approached by Felicity Pony.
Good one. I like that.
Pony, get to it. Ride it, my Felicity Pony. She confronts Elizabeth. I saw that sweet little moment between you and Darcy. You must think he's your knight in shining armor.
Ugh.
Elizabeth protests. I am not interested in him. But Felicity practically snarls. Then why are you using Zara to get to him?
Ugh.
I put the time in with that spoiled brat, not you.
Ugh.
Elizabeth is shocked. And I actually defended you to Zara.
Tacky.
You have no respect, Ponytail counters, for who I am to this family. Well, not anymore, Elizabeth says, and fully turns her back on her. Felicity, incensed, whispers, you are going to get exactly what you deserve. What's that supposed to mean? Elizabeth demands. But my little pony, Felicity, walks away smiling slyly. Oh, you'll see.
Oh, I wish it was my little pony. Don't give My Little Pony a bad name by associating it with Felicity.
It's a little ponytail. It's a wee little ponytail.
My little side ponytail.
Okay, My Little Side Pony Felicity.
Okay, that's acceptable.
We will accept that. Finally, it's time for the ball. They're in a ballroom in the Grand House Hotel with a string quartet and servers with plates of hors d'oeuvres and champagne weaving through the crowd. Everybody's dressed to the nines, dancing, but Jenna and Elizabeth are off to the side chatting. They are also decked out in shiny dresses and poofy hair. I don't know who's friend or foe here, Elizabeth said. And should I tell Darcy what Felicity said to me? Oh, hell yeah, Jenna confirms, but not tonight. Just enjoy the evening. Jenna goes off to join Henry and meet some of his friends, and as soon as she leaves, pop, Darcy swoops in from the shadows. You need a glass of something sparkly to go with that dress.
Does
it show? She asks, how nervous I am. Don't be nervous, he tells her. You take my breath away, and I'm a little irritated at how attracted I am to you. It makes it difficult to think straight. I'm in love with myself in that Donovan Darcy voice. Damn it.
Woo. Do you see the way I'm looking at you? Do you see the way I'm looking at you?
No, I'm reading my notes. I can't look like to. My eyes don't go like that. I know what you mean, she agrees. Like how annoying it is when the person you can't stand is almost charming. Well, there's only one thing to do about that, he says, taking her hand. Let's dance. As they take to the floor, Felicity and Violet move in like two women on the prowl.
Ooh.
Darcy and Elizabeth, oblivious, spin around the floor. You know what else is annoying? Elizabeth shares. How good you are at everything. Business, tennis, and now you're a spectacular dancer? It takes two to dance, he says. And she looks at him with hearts in her eyes and says, I feel like I'm living somebody else's charmed life right now. He spins her around and around and right into Felicity and her partner.
Mm.
It's an older gentleman. He has his back to the couple. He says, excuse me, and then asks to cut in. And when he turns around, it's Grant Markham.
Fuck you.
Corinne is giving the double fingers to me. I don't know what I did. I didn't bring him there. I didn't invite Grant Markham to this party.
I'm double birding Grant Markham, not you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep. We both quadruple birding.
Yay!
Quadruple birding. Flocks and flocks. Flocks and flocks of birds going on here. Aren't you glad to see me? He asks Elizabeth. Darcy, sensing something is amiss, says, I started this dance and I intend to finish it. Well, Markham smiles slyly and says, "Just watch your wallet around this one. Not too long ago, she tried to pick mine." Darcy makes a lunge at him, but Elizabeth holds him back. She pulls him back into their dance, and he asks, "What was that all about? Do you know that guy?" She gets emotional and says, "Yes, I'm sorry, but I have to go." Her voice breaks as she rushes off, but she doesn't get very far. Markham corners her before she can leave, and he will not let her pass. He yells, "Do you think this is going away? Do you think you could get away with messing with my son?" Just then, it's Darcy and Henry to the rescue. Dun-da-da-da! Henry announces, "This man seems to have forgotten his manners."
"Yeah."
"Yes," Darcy agrees. "I think he needs to be shown out." They call the equivalent of ball security, and Markham is shown to the door, all the while yelling, "You can't treat me like this!" Oh, but they can.
Oh, they can.
Darcy goes back to Elizabeth and tries to salvage the evening by offering her a drink, but she declines. "I ruined your party," she says sadly. "On the contrary, you've made it," he smiles. "This crowd thrives on gossip." Elizabeth finally tells him, "Your aunt and Felicity invited Markham here because they want me gone." "Well, then," he says softly, "let's shut them up." And he pulls her face towards his, and they kiss. And it's a pretty good one. Until everybody starts clapping. Say, what the fuck? No, don't clap. I don't think I've ever been inclined to clap at a kiss unless it was like a wedding proposal. I can't imagine just seeing a couple in the park and being like, "Yes, you give her that tongue. That's so good. Yes."
They're high society. They like clapping at tennis. They like clapping at dog shows. They like clapping at kisses.
Fair point. It just took me out because I was like, shut up. People.
For real.
After the kiss, Donovan announces, "Anyone who's wondering whether or not I'm going to propose to Felicity, the answer is no." She storms towards him in a huff. "How could you humiliate me like this?" Felicity says. Mm. And he coolly regards her. "I considered you a friend, but a friend wouldn't let a snake like Grant Markham into another friend's house." Ooh. Here comes Violet, of course, because she's got to intervene, with her finger raised as if she's about to say something, and he says, "You neither, Aunt Violet. Now you have some respect," she hisses. She hisses. She says you have some respect. I forgot my teeth upstairs. Gosh darn it.
"Well, little Missy, maybe we ought to correct that."
And Violet's going to be less scary if I could just picture her without teeth. I wish I would have thought of this earlier.
I think she sharpens her teeth.
And Donovan, with little emotion, says, "I'll give you respect when I get it." Mm. And the two ladies storm off. He turns back to Elizabeth and says, "Now, where were we?" And she says, "I was just about to say goodnight." And she goes off.
Ugh.
Woman.
Ugh.
Grant Markham gets shown the door.
Yes.
Donovan Darcy is obviously fine with whatever happened between them. He's just like, whatever, let's party. And she's still leaving? What the hell? Like, why? Okay, Corinne, explanations, please.
No explanations other than she's just over it. She's done. If it were me in that situation, and he had just shown fucking Grant Markham the door and then tells his Aunt Violet and fucking Felicity to fuck the fuck the fuck off, I would be like,
right?
Come at me, baby. Oh, we're going to be dancing. It's going to be the Lambada, the language of love. Yeah, no, I would not be leaving to my room unless I was taking him with me.
Thank you. Because I'm like, honey, no, what? God dang it. I know. She's not over it. They just need 10 more minutes in the movie.
Elizabeth is in bed in her Jimmy Jams, staring at the ceiling as one does when they desperately want to sleep away a shitty day, but they have too much going through their head to do it. Mind you, I would have been buzzing with that kiss, but Elizabeth apparently has much more self-restraint than I do. Thus, previous conversation.
Than all of us.
Jenna comes in the room in her sparkly gown. Elizabeth, are you awake? Elizabeth turns towards her. Don't waste your time on me. I'm fine. Go downstairs and have fun. Jenna is resolute. I've had an evening of fun, and now I want to spend a little time with my best sister. Everyone is talking about that kiss. Elizabeth says, That kiss meant nothing. Just something Donovan did to shut up his aunt. Jenna refutes her. No, everyone saw the sparks between you. That kiss was magnetic. Elizabeth says, Well, the only thing I'm attracted to right now is some food. I'm starving. Jenna has got her back. I'm going to go downstairs and grab something for you. I'll be back soon. Jenna dashes down the stairs and hears Henry and Donovan talking. Henry, Donnie, that kiss you gave Jenna's sister was amazing. Donovan, that kiss was to shut up Aunt Violet. Henry, you like the girl, admit it. Donovan, why would I like her? She's overproud. Henry, beautiful. Donovan, and crass. Henry, intelligent and rocks a ball gown. You are so attracted to her, admit it. Jenna runs back up the stairs, having heard enough. She did not trick her sister into coming here just so that Elizabeth could be looked down on and used by Donovan Darcy. She gets her sister up. They pack, call the most expensive cab ride ever, and are about to get the fuck out of town when Donovan stops them. Elizabeth looks knowingly at Donovan. Don't you dare tell me that my sister didn't hear what she did. Donovan doesn't deny it. It's true I said those things, but if she'd just stuck around a moment longer, she would have heard me say to Henry that I was pretending I wasn't into the kiss, that I'm more attracted to you than I've ever been to anyone in my life, and it scares me. I've spent my life protecting myself against people with agendas, using my friendship for business connections, or trying to use my heart for money and influence. My Aunt Violet is... Violet? That's actually not too far off.
Good slip of the tongue. Good slip of the tongue.
For real. My Aunt Violet is included in all that. But you have made it past my defenses, and you have made it into my heart. And now that I know how that feels, Elizabeth, I don't want to let you go. Donovan had me at the romantic speech. And then he loses me with the final line. I've decided that we belong together. Elizabeth, who might have been swayed moments ago, is fucking irate. You've decided? You don't get to decide who I belong with. Donovan scrambles. Yes, you're totally right. I know this apology isn't all that it should be. I've spent so many years shutting myself down that I only just realized that all my obsessive thinking about you over the past weeks has been because I've fallen in love with you. You're just so obstinate, but clearly I enjoy an obstinate woman. Elizabeth shakes her head sadly. I've got to go. And she gets into the cab with her sister. Back at Gabrielle's house, Jenna and Elizabeth say fond goodbyes. As they head out, Gabrielle says, He wrote you this letter. It only just arrived today. Elizabeth says, I don't want it. But Jenna is more measured, as the shit show didn't happen to her, and takes the envelope. I'll make sure she reads it. Once Jenna and Elizabeth are on the sidewalk, Jenna opens the letter, and because she's reading it, Elizabeth gives, Okay, what does it say? Jenna summarizes. He appreciates that you've always been honest and you're the first woman he's met that doesn't care about his money. You challenge him in the best ways and he sees things differently because of you. Lizzie, this is the real deal. I think you should stay. Talk to him. Elizabeth, bruised from the events of the past monthish, is not going for it. He just wants me because he can't have me. Just another rich white guy who expects to get whatever he wants. I'm done. And they head into the cab to start their journey home.
I might have forgiven him and all the stupid stuff he said if he gave me that apology when I was leaving in the cab if I was Elizabeth and he had his shirt off after he did that whole spiel. We belong together. I don't believe... Wait, say that again with your shirt off.
I think you have a good point there. The shirt off is compelling.
Right? It's like an argument in itself.
Can I touch your chest while you're saying this?
Or he doesn't say anything. He just like follows her up to the cab and like strips off his shirt and jacket and is like standing there. Oh, you've convinced me. Let's go back inside.
I like how you have your standards, and I appreciate that.
You know, you could say a lot without words.
Yeah.
And just let your pecs do the talking. Elizabeth goes back home to D.C. in her mama's bridal shop, and mama wants answers. Was there some romantic disaster with Donovan Darcy, she asks?
No,
Elizabeth says moodily. Well, mama continues, I gave him a goog, and he's rich and handsome and donates a crap ton of money to worthy charities. Elizabeth snatches the folder out of her mom's hands and gets an, oh, shit, I fucked up, look on her face. And just then, the phone rings. It's her school. She rushes to Thurston's office, and they are reinstating her with a 20% raise. We found some unfavorable things about Markham, and his wife also stepped down from the board, Thurston says. Oh, did these unfavorable things come from Donovan Darcy? She asks. But Thurston's not at liberty to say. So Elizabeth says, fuck all, thanks but no thanks, and storms off without the job from the school, whose opinions can obviously be bought.
Amen.
Good for you, Elizabeth.
I was like, good for you. I am on that train with her. I'd be like, fuck you, and fuck you. No.
But 20% raise, Corinne? Was it a little, just 20%?
Uh-huh.
God, I'm a cheap slut.
Because the next student that comes along that you try and have standards with, guess what's going to happen?
Yeah, no. Fuck that shit.
She's got Donovan Darcy in her pocket, apparently, so she can do whatever she wants now.
I see.
She could probably slap wrists with rulers and everything. She's got free reign to the school. Elizabeth, empowered, emboldened, goes back to her mom's bridal shop and arrives to the sound of her mother squealing. You missed it! Oh my God, it was the most romantic reunion! Sitting on a nearby sofa is Jenna and Henry. Isn't it great? Jenna says. Henry's getting a place in D.C. so he can come see me on the weekends.
Yay.
That's right, Henry confirms. It was actually Donnie's idea. He said I need to follow my heart or else he was going to kick my butt. Donovan said that? Elizabeth asks. And Henry says, yeah, right before he fell off the face of the earth. Him and Zara have gone missing and nobody knows where they are. The murderino and me, we would be worried. Somebody's gone, nobody knows where they are. They're dead. They're dead and buried somewhere in a desert. Mom pipes up from the back of the store. Is it too late to look at wedding dresses? Jenna shouts in embarrassed, Mom! But Henry smiles and says, let's humor her, while Elizabeth looks sadly on.
Oh, that's all sweet, Henry! You're such a good guy!
You can have Henry. Well, splitsies, you can have Henry and I'll take Donovan.
That's fine, but you know I have more of a fucking Elizabeth temperament than you do.
Fair.
After the Henry and Jenna love fest, Elizabeth goes home and, well, frankly, she's filled with regerts. So many regerts. She calls and leaves a voicemail. Donovan, I wanted to say that I'm so sorry. It was wrong of me to leave that way, and the letter you wrote, it's beautiful. It showed a tenderness that I haven't shown you, but now I'm opening myself up to you. I wish I was talking to you in person, but since I can't right now, I have to tell you, I'm in love with you too. Next, we see her at Gabrielle's brownstone, which is... conveniently located across the street from Donovan's brownstone. Elizabeth tells Gabrielle that she left another message for Donovan letting him know that she had moved in with her and was looking for a job and was basically waiting at his doorstep for him. You have no idea where he is? Gabrielle says, no, I think you broke his heart. Elizabeth is filled with regret. I broke my own heart too. I just wish he'd come home so we could talk. Gabrielle tries to console her. Well, there is a dog show this weekend. Why don't you enter Bliss? No, Donovan is not going to be judging it, but I bet you could use the distraction. Elizabeth agrees, and we move on to the weekend. At the dog show, Elizabeth is sad. Her heart isn't in it, but Bliss gives her some sweet licks, so she hangs in there. From a distance, we hear, Duchess! That's my sister, insisting that it's Duchess and not Bliss. But really, from a distance, we hear, number one, number one. And a lady approaches Elizabeth. Are you number one? Oh, yes, thank you, Elizabeth responds. She hustles over and standing in front of her is Donovan. Late again, I see, he says. I got your messages and they were satisfyingly contrite. I've made one of them my ringtone, so whenever I get a call, I can hear it. And it cheers me up. Elizabeth responds, that's a little creepy, but I am so, so very sorry. I was hurt and feeling beat down, and I pushed you away. Donovan looks at her, cupping her face tenderly. I was very happy to hear you tell me that you love me. She looks back at him, hope in her eyes. Does that mean you still love me? He tucks a stray hair behind her ear, moving in closer and gently cupping the back of her head. Yes, more than ever. His hand drops gently, grazing her arm as he moves to take both of her hands in his. I'm still very firm in my conviction that you and I belong together. They look at each other with hard eyes, moving closer together. He finishes saying, although you are a difficult woman to sweep off her feet. Elizabeth gets closer to him, letting go of his hand so that she could put her hand behind his back and pull in closer. Consider me swept as she presses against him and tilts her head up to his. And they kiss, and it's a good one.
And people are clapping again at the dog show when they kiss.
It was a performative kiss.
Stop laughing.
They did it in the middle of the dog ring. What? Ah. So, feelings about this movie.
Okay.
You went on a journey with this one.
Because I did not care for it when I first watched it. Some of the wording that I knew they were doing is a throwback to the original story that came out in like 1890 something. Like I like being immersed in the movie and it took me out. Uh-huh. And I'd just be like, gosh darn it. What did you have to say it like that? And still kind of throws me when they're like, are you engaged instead of just like dating? Like it's either friends, engaged, marriage, there's like no middle ground. Uh-huh. And sometimes that's a little bit distracting for me. But god damn it, this movie did grow on me. It sure did. The second and the third time, it got even better. And I have to say that I think I have a new Hallmark beau. Ryan Pavey is right up there with my Luke McFarlane after this movie. And it snuck up on me. I was quite surprised. I liked his chemistry with Cindy Busby. I liked the villains. I didn't feel like, you know, I'm just like, usually I'm like, oh, this is going to be the bad guy. And I'm like, oh, these are the bad people. And I love to hate them. And it had really good moments. And so it definitely grew on me. Ryan Pavey grew on me. I was growed on.
Aww.
I was going to give it first go round, three dry kisses. Second and third go round, 3.5 dry kisses. Uh-huh. But now because you said it was a Bridget recommended favorite, I'm going to give it 4 dry kisses.
Yeah.
Knocking it up 0.5 star for you, Bridge.
This movie delights me so. When I first watched it, I didn't care for it that much. And then
thank you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But that's what I said to you. I was like, it grew on me. Like, the more I watched it, the more it grew on me. And like you said, that happened with you, too.
Bizarre. It's like a drug.
Totally.
Your first hit, you might not like it.
The first one's free.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, this makes me feel funny. And then the next time they're like, wait, I just need to watch that little Unleashy Mr. Darcy twitch again. I don't know what it is about that movie. Twitch.
So, yeah, I never actually noticed the language stuff, and you pointed it out, and I was like, oh, I kind of see what you're saying, but it still didn't bother me. But when you pointed it out, I was like, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Ty Ty Jr., is, as I call him, is adorable in this. He's so fucking sexy. Oh, my gosh. That pool scene, hello.
She's mulling it over, people.
I know.
She's mulling it over.
Because I actually considered giving this 5 dry kisses.
What? What?
Because I got to tell you, the most recent time I watched it, and I watched it from beginning to end, and I was taking notes on it, I was like fucking into it, and the kisses and everything, and I was like, oh, and I was feeling the feels. There's few problems with it. It's also very, 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 very white. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but it's true. This is kind of like a Bridget Select, and so I also have a soft spot for it, sort of like Morning Glory style, I would say. So I'm gonna give it a 4.5 dry kisses.
Fair. My goodness, I'm looking at Ryan Pavey's page, and he's in all kinds of stuff, and I'll be watching it shortly.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be up late tonight.
You're like, immersion blender in one hand, remote in the other.
Immersion blender. Ew. Ew. Oh, my God. You better explain that one.
I told you about that.
Oh, wait. We already did, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
I gave my sister an immersion blender, and she thought I gave her a Hitachi magic wand for Christmas in front of my fucking parents.
Please, dear listeners, if you do not understand that reference, it's in a different episode. I do not do anything weird with immersion blenders. I promise you.
We have our next October-chested movie, which is Love in the Forecast, I think?
Yes, it is. That one's got a bare chest for a blinkage. Like, if you blink, which I did, you don't. You missed the shirt-off moment.
If you have feelings about October chested theme, if you have feelings about Ty Ty Jr., aka Ryan Pavey, or Unleashing Mr. Darcy, or Cindy Busby, who seems like an excellent human being and a lovely actress.
We did not talk about her near enough.
No, we didn't. She got a little cheated in this movie because of our heart eyes for Ryan Pavey. So, sorry, Cindy. But.
Sorry, Sandy.
You can write us at onedrykiss@gmail.com. And you can contact us also through our social medias on Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook. All at One Dry Kiss.
And if you find the time, please rate and review us anywhere you listen to your podcast. We appreciate hearing from you. We love the 5-star reviews, and we love to hear your ratings. So if you like this podcast, you can find the time to do it. Please rate and review us wherever you listen to this podcast. I said podcast like 17 times in that sentence, and that's okay.
It's the truth.
Podcast. And as always, we bid you adieu with one dry kiss.
Mwah.
Mwah.
Bye.
See you next time.
Jenna assesses the situation. I invented a new word, a situation.
I've made up so many words since we started this podcast. I should have a dictionary. We should have a dictionary.
I do. I have a dictionary in my head. My sister used to be like, that's not a word. And I'd be like, yes, it is. It's a dictionary in my head. Drove her crazy.
We love you, Bridget.
Love you, Bridget.